Well, it's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Pastor makes fun of me because I think I'm 3 months older than he is or something like that. 3 months, yeah. Anyway, I appreciate everything. I appreciate everything this week. It's been such a blessing to be here, honestly. Certainly the time with your pastor and his wife, my wife and I, really, really enjoyed that. But also just your kindness to us, making us feel at home, all the nice things that have been said. And just being here as you could be here, I thank you for that. And I hope, and my prayer is that God has spoken to you somewhere where you built a booth. God does want us to have his full joy. And that's my heart's desire for the people of God, that their joy would be full and that they would love God with all of their heart. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to be here. It truly has been a blessing. I'm very, very thankful for it. One of the gentlemen asked me in the back tonight, said, "You got a good joke for us tonight?" probably not. Probably not. Okay, we'll keep it real short then. You hear about the three-legged dog that came to town and said, "I'm looking for the man that shot my paw"? See, I told you, probably not. Anyway, put the disclaimer out there first. So thank you for everything. It's been a great, great joy to be here. And I just want to say I'm thankful for your pastor. I'm thankful for the stand that he has taken all these years, his faithfulness to God in a time where it seems like a lot of people are just falling. I'm thankful for your pastor, his faithfulness, his stick-to-itiveness, as he has worked so hard here over the years at Lighthouse Baptist Church. We're going to go to Matthew 18 tonight, the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter number 18. Appreciate your prayers as we travel back home tomorrow. And then Friday night, of course, wedding rehearsal, which can or cannot be good at times, depending on who you allow to speak up. Anyway, we won't talk a whole lot about that. And then, of course, the wedding on Saturday and on through the regular routine on Sunday. Well, hopefully not a regular routine, but on with business on Sunday. Appreciate your prayers so much for all of that. If you found Matthew 18, would you stand one more time with me for the reading of the Word of God in honor of His Word? So much appreciate your willingness to do that as you can. Excuse me. Matthew 18, look down, if you will, to verse number 21. Verse 21. Then came Peter to him, to Jesus, and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he could not pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?' And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." I want to try to preach to you tonight on this important subject. holding on to anger and bitterness will hinder your life. Holding on to anger and bitterness will hinder your life. Let's pray. We'll get started. Heavenly Father, what a blessed time that we have had here in this place. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I'm so thankful that you've met with us the way that you have. And we're thankful, Lord, for all the great praises that have gone up from this place and the prayers that have gone up from this place. And we pray that it's just all been a sweet smelling savor unto you. Lord, if we look back, and even if we did know of every decision that's been made, at this point, we have what we have in front of us. Lord, it's a new service, a new time, and you have another message for us. And so we pray, dear God, that you'd make it very, very clear. Lord, we've asked for your power, and we ask for it one more time, that we might have a filling of that unction of the Holy Ghost of God, that we might preach with great liberty, Lord, this message, your word, in such a manner that it had touched the hearts of people and it would meet the needs. And Lord, then at the proper time, people would respond because they know that you have spoken unto them. Lord, whatever needs to happen in this place tonight, we pray your perfect will would be done with each and every one of us. We thank you for your goodness and grace and mercy and ask all of these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing. Excuse me, and please do be seated. I believe that anger and bitterness and unforgiveness are some of the worst sins in our churches today. I'm going to say it again because I don't think some people think along these lines, but it's really true. I believe that anger and bitterness and unforgiveness are some of the worst sins in our churches today because they are sin. It's sin in the eyes of God. And while there might not be a lot of drinking and smoking and cussing and gambling going on, I said, hopefully there's not a lot of smoking and drinking and cussing and gambling going on. There's no doubt that a lot of people sit in church pews week after week with anger and bitterness in their lives, and it keeps them from living the life that God truly wants them to have, the life God wants them to live. And they'll rationalize everything till it just sounds logical that they should never forgive someone for the things they did or the things that they said. There are those who sit in churches that don't have true peace and joy in their life, though they say that they do, because someone has done them wrong, and they refuse to forgive that person. How childish, how immature, how un-Christ-like. And the sad part is that it is their life, the one that's holding on to it all, they're the one that's being affected, not the one that they are angry at or have not forgiven. Unforgiveness has turned to anger, and anger's turned to hatred. Hatred's turned to bitterness. Bitterness is just eating them up. And it may even be something that happened years and years ago, but you've not let it go. And it's still robbing you of that true joy that God wants you to have. In the story we read here, we have Peter coming to the Lord and asking him a question. Then came Peter to him, verse 21, said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times?" In the teaching of the rabbis, which of course these men had been under until they got set under the teaching of Jesus, in the teaching of the rabbis, there's 14 references of forgiveness that instruct men to forgive anywhere from 1 to 3 times, but no more than that, what they'd been taught for a long, long time. He comes to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him?" It sounds like Peter's looking for a way out. It's like Peter saying, "Hey, if I forgive this guy 7 times in one day and they do it again, can I hate them then? Can I punch them then? Come on, it's Peter, the old fisherman. Come on. I can't believe you would talk about the disciples that way. They're sinners." Okay, they were living together. I know this out under the stars and stuff. I mean, they didn't have any place to stay. Pillows, rocks for pillows and all of that. But they walked together every day. And these weren't a bunch of, I already said it. They're a bunch of sinners. And don't you think every once in a while that they might have gotten on each other's nerves? Okay, well, it's kind of like, you know, the staff men that work together all the time. I mean, surely the ones here love each other so much they never get on each other's nerves. But, you know, I mean, it could be in some cases in some churches that that might just happen. Okay, I'll move along right now. But anyway, it's like Peter says, if he does that seven times and I forgive him, then can I be mad at him then? But Jesus comes back and says, Peter, not just seven times, but seven times 70, or 490 times a day. Now, that's a high standard. I mean, truly a high standard. Oh, come on, Brother Marshall. That's just crazy. God doesn't expect us to just keep on forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving, does he? Yes. Absolutely so. Yes, he does. And he gives us a reason with this parable. And we'll not take time to read it again. We'll just go through it kind of a paraphrase here. There's this king, and he is taking account of his servants. And he'd begun to reckon. And also one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. Now, that's just a whole lot of money. Let me just put it that way, okay? Probably a lot more than you and I are ever going to have. It's a bunch of money. And he says, hey, listen, you owe me 10,000 talents, and so I want you to pay up right now. And the guy said, I don't have money like that. And he said, well, okay, no problem. Then I'll sell you and your wife and your children and everything that you have and whatever brings in. That'd be fine. No problem there. And the Bible says that the servant fell down, worshiped him, saying, if you'll just have patience with me, have a little patience here, and I'm going to pay you everything if you'll just have a little patience. And it says that this Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave all that debt because he asked him to. So this same servant, after he's forgiven all that debt, he goes out and finds one of his fellow workers that owes him 100 pence. Now, most of the men sitting in the auditorium tonight probably have that in their billfold, or certainly if you have your debit card, you've got that amount of money. More than likely, not a whole lot of money. And he owed him 100 pence. And the Bible says this guy that had just been forgiven all this stuff, he laid hands on him. Took him by the throat is what it says. And I don't think he said, when it said here that he said, pay me what thou owest. I don't think he's like, you need to pay me what you owe me. I think it's like, you better pay me what you owe me right now. I mean, with all the, you know, taking him by the throat and stuff, you know. And it says that this fellow worker fell down and worshiped him, fell down at his feet and said, if you'll just have some patience with me. Come on, just like he had done. If you'll just have some patience with me, I'll pay it all. I'll get it paid off. I'll get it paid. But it says he would not. And it says he wouldn't cast him into prison until he'd pay him all the debt. And I always think about that time, what a brainiac. He's going to throw him in prison where he can't work until he pays the debt. I don't get it. But anyway, story goes on. Parable goes on. So when the other servants that had seen all this happen, when they saw that, they weren't very happy about it. So they went and told the Lord what was going on. Then the Lord called that one back on, called him on the carpet. I like to say it like that. Called him on the carpet and said this. You're a wicked servant. I can't believe I forgave you all that debt that you owed me just because you wanted me to. Just because you asked me to, I forgave you all of that. I mean, really, shouldn't you have showed that fellow servant of yours, shouldn't you have showed him the compassion that I showed to you? I mean, shouldn't you had that compassion? I mean, shouldn't you had pity on him? I mean, just like I had pity on you. I think he was worked up because he said the Lord was very wroth. That just means he's very angry. He's very mad at that point. And he says this. And he delivered him. Stay with me here. And he delivered him to the tormentors. Till he should pay all that was due unto him. That's the end of the parable. Parable's over right there. Jesus is still talking. Are you still with me here? Jesus is still talking. But that's the end of the parable. Parable's over. And then Jesus says this. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every man his brother their trespasses. And I believe that's exactly what has taken place in a lot of people's lives. Well, what do you mean? I believe a lot of people have been delivered to the tormentor. I don't know if I'm following you there. You know, it is definitely a fact that people can do you wrong. Somebody say amen right there. People can do you wrong, and it does happen. It does happen. But when somebody does you wrong, you don't forgive them the way that we should forgive them. It does start to build up, and it does cause bitterness. To the point that when you think about what they did or what they said or how they acted, that many times this churning will start down in here. And you just can't get it off your mind. And it's just like, I can't believe they did that. And you have these ideas. You just would do anything to get back at them. I just want them to hurt like I hurt. I want them to feel like I felt. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they get by with that. And I don't know why in the world this all happened. And I tell you what, I just wish I could get my hands on them. And I'd take care of them. And sometimes, if we dwell on that stuff long enough, sometimes it can even get to the point where it affects our sleep. We don't feel like eating. We'll pace the floor. It will put us into torment. Torment. I believe that's where a lot of people are today. But the whole point of the parable is this. God has forgiven you for so much. How is it that you feel you need not to forgive others? How many of you here are saved by the grace of God? Do you realize how much you've been forgiven? You weren't forgiven all that because you did a lot of good stuff for God. You were forgiven all that because you asked Him to forgive you for that. And when you did, He did. Just because you asked Him to. He did. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And a lot of people today would even say, you know, well, that's Old Testament. That's before Jesus was nailed to the cross, died, and gave up the ghost and was buried and rose again. That's Old Testament back then. You know, now God's just going to forgive our sin no matter what. Well, hold on just a second. No, hold on just a second. So what would you do with James chapter 4 and verse number 17, where the Bible says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin." So if we're supposed to forgive, not hold grudges, do those things. If we're supposed to forgive and we don't forgive, if we're harboring unforgiveness and anger and bitterness in our heart, in the sight of God, it is sin. It is sin. Now, it might not be a sin like we would think of sin or like to think of sin, like smoking and drinking and gambling. I mean, all those outward sins that we think are so very bad, and they are very bad, but sin is sin. And if we have that type of sin in our life and we're not willing to confess that and forsake it, do you think, please listen to me, do you think that it might just hinder your Christian walk? Oh, sure it would. Absolutely so. That sin between you and God that hinders the fellowship that He so badly wants to have. And it's sad to think that just because, you know, we're not smoking or drinking or drugging or any of those things that we think we're doing okay, even though we have a heart full of bitterness and unforgiveness, which God calls sin. And I really do believe that we have gotten to a place that we can justify that in our own mind, because, I mean, after all, we do come to church every time the doors are open, and I've been to all the revival service, and I came to the men's conference, and I work around here in the church. I have a Sunday school class, and I work out in the parking lot ministry, and I work in the bus ministry, and I keep the kids in the nursery, and I do all these different things around here, so, you know, everything must be fine. But I'm telling you, somebody brings up a name of someone, and that churning starts in your heart, in your stomach once again, and somebody brings up a situation or just happens to come across your mind, and all of a sudden you're in torment again, and all you can think of is, I just can't believe they treated me that way and were that way with me, and I can't believe I did that to my family, and whatever the case may be, and it just starts, begins to churn again. And I'm telling you, if you decide that you're going to hold on to that no matter what anybody says or anybody thinks, what do you think it's going to do to you? James chapter 1 verse 15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Brother Marshall, did you switch gears here? I don't understand. Lust. What lust? What are you talking about? Lust. Look, lust doesn't always have to have a sexual connotation to it. I'm talking about the lust of the flesh. You know, wanting to get even, wanting them to suffer the way you've suffered, wanting retribution for what's been done and what's been said. Now, hold it, wait a second. Do you really think that's the way that God wants us to be? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, that's what the Lord says about those people that have done us wrong. We're to love them and bless them and pray for them. Excuse me, look up here for a second. If I can say it this way, that's where the rubber meets the road. Now, I'm talking about in Christianity. That's where the rubber meets the road. No. It's real easy to do all the outward stuff. It's real easy to go through the motions and dress the way you're supposed to and all those things. No. It's easy to go through all those things. But when we start dealing with the inner man, if you will, you know, that one that no one knows except you and God, it gets to be a little tougher at times. Especially when God expects these things from us. No. I'm telling you, I'm just reading you the Bible. It's right there. He said that we are supposed to bless them. Pray for them. Those that have done us wrong. Well, it's a lot easier in the flesh just to do it the other way, isn't it? But it's not going to help our Christian walk. It's not going to help us to grow. It's not going to help us. We're not going to be blessed the way that God wants to bless us if we aren't willing to do things the way that God wants us to do things. About 13 years ago, before I took the pastorate there in St. Joseph, Missouri, but I knew that we were praying about it and all, and it was fixing to come together. And in my Bible reading one day, God gave me John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. And it has stuck with me ever since. But it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one unto another. So he said, No. God said, I'm going to give you this commandment. Love one another. Well, preacher, it's not like we don't know we're supposed to love one another. But no. He said that we're supposed to love one another the way that he loves us. There's a difference there, isn't there? The way that he loves us. Come on. He forgives you over and over and over and over and over and over and over. I'm telling you, that's helped me in the pastorate. To realize that I'm dealing with people that are like Bill Marshall. and that I have to love them and bless them and pray for them no matter how they treat me. I mean, how are people going to perceive us if we don't love one another? I'm talking about us as Christians. How are they going to perceive us if we don't forgive one another? How are they going to perceive us if we say we're a Christian, but we harbor this anger and this bitterness and these grudges against one another? Well, preacher, Brother Marshall, let me just tell you something. You know, people understand. People know. They know what I've gone through. They know what's happened to me. They know. No. People understand why I feel this way. People understand why I've just decided I'll never forgive those people. People understand all that, Brother Marshall. Don't you know? People understand. You're right. That's exactly the way the world thinks. But we're not to be like this world. We are to be Christ-like. We shouldn't want to be found to be like this world, but to be like Him, the one that saved our soul, the one that changed our life. And you might be thinking in your own head, well, that's fine, but you don't know exactly what happened to me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how they treated me. You just don't understand. You don't know exactly what happened to me. Well, no, you're right. I don't know exactly what happened to you, but I know what happened to Christ. I know how they treated Him. I know what they did to Him. And I do know that while He was hanging there on that cross that day, that He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I've looked in my Bible a lot of different times, and not one place have I found where people were coming by while Jesus hung there on that cross, bleeding and dying for their sin, where people came by and said, look, I was one of those that pulled some of your beard out. Would you please forgive me? I spit on you a couple of times while you were walking by. Will you please forgive me? I cursed you. I mocked you. I ridiculed you. Would you please forgive me for that? Would you please forgive me for calling you those? I was one of those that's out there sticking my tongue out at you as you hung up there. Will you please just forgive me for that? I can't find any place, anywhere where anybody asked for forgiveness while He was hanging there, and yet He still said, Father, forgive them. See, we're supposed to forgive whether people ask us or not. And you need to understand this. You need to understand that the forgiveness is not for them as much as it is for you. And let me say this too. just because you forgive someone does not mean that you necessarily have to make them your best friend. In fact, it doesn't even mean that you would ever even have to see them again. You're just letting go. Father, I forgive them. Come on. They have a judge. One of these days, all the wrongs are going to be righted by the judge Himself. People say, you can't judge me. Don't judge me. I'm not. No, I don't. I'm not judge. I'm not anybody's judge. I don't want to judge anybody. We have a judge. And one of these days, all those things will be taken care of. All those things will be leveled out. Our responsibility is just to forgive. Lord, I'm sorry I've held this bitterness in my heart. I'm sorry I've thought the things I've thought toward them. I'm sorry I've been this way. And I just want to forgive them right here, Lord, in Your presence. I just forgive them. See, real help's not going to come into our lives until we do that. Until we really forgive that way. And I can promise you, we can't do that on our own. It's going to take some help. It will take some help. But God's made a way for that, hasn't He? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. No, that's not just quitting all these habits that we have. That is actually being able to forgive and to love the way that we're supposed to. Truly. We can do that in Christ. Because see, if you are a born-again child of God, the love in which God loves you is in you by the Holy Ghost of God. It's there. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. So the love of God that God loves you with is in you. Oh, come on, I know that most of the time, or a big part of the time, we don't act like it, but it's in there. It is in there. It's available to us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says this: follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. This preacher, so what if I'm bitter? So what if I don't want to forgive? It's not hurting anybody but me. You're wrong. You're wrong. It will affect the people that are around you. Whether you want it to or not, it will affect the people that are around you. Yeah. But Brother Marshall, it just seemed like the same old thing. It keeps coming up again and over and over and over and over. Well, it talks about the root of bitterness. That's the root. And really at this, I'm not sure that we can ever get the root completely out as long as we're still robed in this flesh. But we can chop it off every time it sprouts. We can do that. When I was just a kid, when I got in trouble, sometimes one of my punishments was I have to go out into the yard and pull weeds. Oh, I hated that. I hated it. Out there trying to pull them weeds up. And one day I was out there pulling weeds, and man, the light bulb came on over my head, and I thought, I got a pocket knife. Don't look at me. It's not a weapon. It's a pocket knife. In fact, every boy needs a pocket knife. Every boy needs a pocket knife. Well, he'll cut himself just once. You learn quick when you see blood. I mean, you learn quick. Yeah. And so I had a pocket knife, and I thought, man, this is going to be easy. Got my pocket knife out. Them weeds, man, just... no problem at all, except weeds grow fast. Like overnight, you know. Next morning, be like, Bill! Yeah, back out in the front yard I went. We may never be able to get the root of bitterness out, but we can chop it off every time that it sprouts. I know, preacher, but 70 times 7 a day? I mean, man, that's a lot. I've been saved 35 years. In that time, I have had other Christian people hurt me and hurt my family. I've had it happen. And those times aren't easy. They're not easy. And there's been times in my own life that bitterness was pretty prevalent. And there were times it eat me up. I mean, I thought I'd get a rain on it, and then somebody would mention a person, a situation, and man, here comes the torment again. Things would go through my mind that shouldn't go through my mind, and all these different things. And I can remember coming to a place where I just knew I had to forgive. I knew I had to forgive. And so I got down to the Lord and I asked him to forgive me for being that way and just forgave him. Lord, I forgive him. That's it. I forgive. Just don't even add it to your account. I forgive them. Boy, you know, that peace that passes all understanding, it is very real. It's real in my life. And time would go by, and pretty soon one day, it'd spring up again. And I have to be honest, very honest with you. There were times and certain days that I would ask God to forgive me and forgive them. I just forgive them. Lord, I forgive them. And then 20 minutes later, it's just like it springs up again, and it's like, Lord, please, I don't want to get like that. I don't want to be like that anymore. I don't want to feel like that. I don't want to be that way. And forgive them, and then forgive them again, and then, you know, an hour later, and forgive them again, because these things that spring up, and forgive them, and forgive them, and forgive them. And I've never kept count. I've never kept count of how many times I've forgiven someone in one day, but I'm pretty sure it's not 490. And I really do think that the Lord set that number up that high for us. Because as I would go and I would just forgive and forgive the way that God would have me to give, there finally came that place that God just poured out his grace on me. And that peace would come back. And we have to be on guard for that. If it ever comes up again, to take care of it once again. But Brother Marshall, it just seems like I've forgiven them enough. I mean, it eats on me, and I try to forgive, and I do forgive, and then it comes back, I don't know why nothing's happened to them, and I don't know why, and it just seems like I've forgiven them enough. Hold on, stay with me. Why should we really worry about doing too much for God when he's done so much for us? I mean, every time that bitterness begins to well up in your soul, just chop it off. No, don't even give it time to grow anymore. Don't let it spread again. Immediately take care of it before it takes you down again. Well, will you answer me a question? Well, I'll try. What if I don't feel like it? Well, forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a choice. It's a choice you make to forgive. I'm not trying to be ugly. It's not about how you feel. It's a choice you make to do what God would have you to do, just like a lot of other choices we make to do what God would have us to do. And it may be a little harder at times than other choices that you've made, but I promise you it's necessary if we're going to live the life that God wants us to live. And we're going to have the joy that God wants us to have, and the peace that God wants us to have. It's absolutely necessary. And we don't have to worry about whoever it was that did us wrong, because once again, they have a judge. And God can take care of that a lot better than you can take care of that. Or I can take care of that. He can take care of it. We just give it all to him. Just forgive the way that we should forgive. I mean, after all, God has forgiven you over and over. Psalm 78, it was in my Bible reading this morning, Psalm 78, 38. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? And yet he forgave and forgave and forgave and forgave and forgave. Our God. So what we do is we pray. We prayerfully seek the Lord for deliverance and forgiveness from our anger and bitterness. We prayerfully seek the Lord. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Listen, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's not words that Bill Marshall made up. That is the very word of God. He said, don't be full of care or mercy. Pray about this thing. Let your request be made known unto me. And I'll give you my peace. That peace that passes all understanding. You know, maybe you have just held on to this thing too long. You've let it eat on you way too long. Maybe you have almost forgotten what that real peace of God is. But you can have it. And maybe you think that your bitterness and unforgiveness is not hurting anyone around you, but it is. And maybe you think that everything I've said is just a moot point in your life because it doesn't matter. I'm going to hang on to this. And I don't care what he says. I ain't hurting nobody but me. I don't care. Nobody's going to be affected by this but me. I'm hanging on to it. Well, let me tell you a story, and then we'll go eat ice cream. We'll get the ice cream tonight. Amen. Some of you heard my testimony. Some of you haven't. I was raised in a drunkard's home, and won't go into all of that. My dad was a drunk, but he wasn't a happy-go-lucky drunk. He was a very mean-spirited drunk. He was Jekyll and Hyde. He was the nicest guy you'd want to meet when he was sober, and he'd get a few drinks in him, and I mean, he just got bad. And there was many a time I can remember, even as a little child, that he'd come home tearing up the house at night, and Mom would put me and my two sisters in the car and take us off someplace to stay someplace else until he sobered up. There was many a time he whooped on my mom, and he was just a bad, bad man. He was a bad man when he drank. Truly. Threw me out of the house when I was 17. And I went on my way. And not long after that, he and my mom divorced. And my mom was, man, she tried so hard. I mean, she tried so hard to keep the family. Anyway, she was a great, great lady. She's in heaven. She was a great lady. Anyway, I didn't see him for about 10 years. My life went way down the tubes, and then I got saved. And not too long after I got saved, God began to deal in my heart about forgiving my dad. You need to forgive your dad. I was like, yeah, right. I ain't forgiving him. And God would deal with me. You need to forgive your dad. And I was like, I'm not forgiving my dad. You need to forgive your dad. I am not going to forgive my dad. I'm not. At that point, it was like, I hate him. He ruined my childhood. He ruined a big part of my life. I'm not forgiving him. I'm not. And the Lord, in his tender way, would say, you need to forgive your dad. And I'd say, I'm not forgiving my dad. Do you know what he did? Well, of course God knew what he did. Not forgiving him. And God continued to deal with me until I realized I need to forgive my dad. And so I did. I didn't even know where he was or anything. I just got down and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been fighting with you about this. It's wrong. I know. And I just forgive my dad. I forgive him. Whatever takes place, whatever. I forgive my dad. It wasn't long after that God began to deal with me about witnessing to my dad. You need to tell your dad about Jesus. Only know where he is. You need to find him. And so I did some research, found a place where he was and found a phone number and called him one day. I remember standing in the kitchen of our mobile home that we were living in and called him up. Phone rang and rang and rang. And he usually had a phone down at the barn. He's a rough old cowboy. That's all he ever did, raised on the ranches in New Mexico. And phone rang and rang and rang. Finally, somebody answered, "Hello." I said, "Yeah, Bill Marshall around. Hold on a minute. It's around here somewhere." Put the phone down, you know, went running around. Finally, you know, after waiting and waiting and waiting, finally, you know, appeared. "Hello." I said, "Dad?" "Yeah." "This is your son, Bill. This is Bill." "Yeah." I said, well, Dad, I just wanted to call you up, see how you're doing." "Yeah." I said, "Well, Dad, I just wanted to tell you that I got saved. I asked Christ in my heart. He saved my soul, changed my life." "Yeah, okay." "Well, Dad, I just need to ask you to forgive me." Wait, Brother Marshall, wait. Stop right there. Wait. You ask your dad to forgive you? Well, I wasn't the model son. And I'm sure there's a lot of things that I could have done better back at that point. I mean, what was I supposed to do? "Dad, I want you to ask me to forgive you right now. You do that, me and you are going to be buds from here on out. This is what's going to happen." No, I just ask him to forgive me for not being the son that I could have been, should have been back during that time. You know what he said? "Yeah, whatever." "Well, Brother Marshall, how'd that make you feel?" "Made me feel great. No, I'd already done everything I was supposed to do. I'd already done what God wanted me to do. I'd already forgiven him. I mean, I was just trying to do what God wanted me to do. Dad, I'd like to see you sometime." "Yeah, well, whatever. I gotta go now." "Yeah, okay." Click. So God continued to deal with me about witnessing to my dad. I found out where he was living, got an address, was traveling, went to see him. "Dad, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus." We talked about some things. I told him the old story, how God came, how God sent his son, died for his sin, rose again, told him, shared with it. "Dad, wouldn't you like to get saved? Wouldn't you like to have your sin forgiven?" "Boy, I just ain't ready." "Okay. No, I'd rather somebody tell me that than just say some prayer, not mean it, you know, to get you off their back." Anyway, so for the next 14 years, every opportunity I had, I would stop by my dad's place, wherever he was. He moved several times during that time. We sat down at the barn several different times, and I just told him the old story again, you know. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Wants to save your soul. And time again, my dad would say, "Boy, I just ain't ready." "Okay, Dad. Praying for you." I was preaching a revival meeting at Calvary Baptist Church right outside of Marlow, Oklahoma. Just a very small town there in Oklahoma, southwest Oklahoma. And it was about 1 mile away from my dad's place, this little old country church. So I let my dad know that I was coming, asking him if he'd come to the service. Well, he didn't come Sunday, he didn't come Monday, he didn't come. And so it was the night before the last night of the service was over, and I called Dad, and I said, "Hey, Dad, let's have breakfast in the morning." "Yeah, okay." So he came and got me that next morning. And we went to breakfast, and we talked about a few things. And on he was driving me back to my old 1972 Winnebago, probably the ugliest motorhome you've ever seen in your life. But, hey, I was in a ministry. I was traveling anyway. He was driving me back, and I told him the old story again. And we parked there at my place, and he said, "Boy, I just ain't ready." And I had the liberty from God to say this: "Dad, you better get ready. You're 72 years old. You're not promised tomorrow." I said, "Would you at least come to the service tonight where I'm preaching? This last night I'm going to be here." Yeah, I'll be here." Okay, good. And he did. He came. He sat on that side, center aisle, about halfway back, I got up, preached the message I thought that God had for that evening to the church. Had altar call. Folks came. Dad never moved. I was pretty heartbroken. Service was over. Me and the pastor were standing at the back door telling people goodbye and all, since I'd be leaving town. The last person finally left. It's just me and the pastor. A pastor lived next door in a little house next door, parsonage. And he said, listen, I'm just going to go next door. My dad was still in the auditorium. I'm just going to go next door. And when you get ready, come on over. We'll have something to eat. Okay. So I'm walking back into the auditorium. My dad has been down front for whatever reason. I don't know. He's walking back that way. And we met about halfway back. My dad was a big man. He wasn't very tall, probably 5'10 or so, but I mean just big, big guy. We met about halfway back, and I looked at him, and I saw something I had never seen before with my dad. I saw a big tear running down his cheek, and here's what he said. Boy, I'm ready. That may not excite you, but it still excites me to this day. And we went into the pastor's office, and I opened up the Bible and told him the old story one more time. And he bowed his head there, called on the Lord to save his soul. He lived 4 years after that, died 76 from cancer, but he was a different man from that time forward. Because that's what salvation does. It changes your life. No matter how old you are, how young you are, it changes. It changes your life. I'd go by his house every chance I had, still traveling. I'd send him preaching tapes, and I bought him a Bible, of course, and I'd go by his house. We'd talk about things, about the Bible, about God, different things. Remember the last time that I visited his place, he was living in Golden, Missouri, that little old place there. And we sat in his living room, talked for a long time, and then it was time to go, late afternoon, almost evening. We walked into his kitchen. Back door had a big glass in it, and the sun was sinking. I can see it like it was yesterday. And we stopped there in the kitchen for a minute, and he looked at me and he said this, boy, he said, I'd have never listened to anybody but you. Talking about the gospel. I'd have never listened to anybody but you. You know what he told me at that point? In essence, you know what he told me? He told me if I hadn't forgiven him, he would probably be in hell tonight. If I hadn't forgiven him. I'm glad I'll see him again one of these days. But it never would have happened if I'd have held on to the bitterness and unforgiveness. It never would have happened. You know, it may not be something that drastic in your life, or it may be something even a lot more drastic than the story I just told you about me and my dad. Or maybe something in between, but I can promise you, whatever it is, it's not worth hanging on to the unforgiveness. It's not worth it. Just a peace that you can have in your own heart by letting it go. By forgiving, by letting God have his way. Holding on to anger and bitterness will hinder your life. Tonight would be a good night just to let it go. Just to ask God to forgive you for holding on to it so long. And forgive whatever person, situation, whatever. And again, let me reiterate. Doesn't mean you're going to have to make them your best friend. You may never even see them again. In fact, it may be somebody that has passed on and you couldn't talk to them again if you wanted to talk to them. But you're still harboring that unforgiveness. Let it go tonight. I promise you that peace that passes all understanding It's real. And you can have it back if you'll just do what God says. Just do what God says. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. It's such a challenge to us, but we know that it's everything that we need. We know that it is. And Lord, even in hard situations, all you want us to do is listen to you, what your word says, be obedient to that, that we might be blessed people. And Father, I don't know if there's anybody sitting in this auditorium that is dealing with this particular problem of bitterness and unforgiveness. Our prayer at this time is that you, if they are, that you would just prompt them, even tonight, even right now, to just come, to just pour their heart out to you, to forgive whatever situation, person it might be that has caused that torment, and just let it all go, that you might have your perfect will and way done in their lives. Father, whatever needs to happen, we pray that it will. We're going to trust you for those results. Thank you for your goodness and mercy, for we ask all of these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.